welcome to the Kroger 583 podcast. I'm your host in CSM, Tim Robinette.
And I'm lowly cashier, Duncan Fetner.
This week we'll be discussing our previous week's Elms results from week one. We'll also be going over our topic of the week. This week is professionalism. And then, of course, we'll be going over some odd and strange customer stories. All right, so our previous week results from week one, 583, was in top position at number one. We're off to a great start this year at 111.1%.
Way to be, 583. A little rhyme I made up there. Think I'll use it every time we beat 585. How does that sound?
It sounds awesome.
Oh. All right.
All cashiers were above 100%. Except for one. We've got Duncan, Jessica, Stephanie, Jeremy, Michelle, Matt, Travis, Jackie, Mariah, Heather, Katie, Austin, Leah, Jordan, Joe, and Andrew. Congratulations to everyone.
I'd like to especially point out Katie Murdoch at 107.4%. I'm not positive, but I believe that's her personal best, so great job, Katie. Keep it up.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. Austin did pretty well last week as well at a 106.7. Everyone's been pretty consistent these past few weeks. Only three of our cashiers were actually in the top 25 cashiers for the past week. Duncan, Travis, and Mariah. We had Travis at a 114.4%. Haven't seen Travis on one of these reports in a long time. Recently started working a little bit more than he usually has. Good job, Travis. Keep up the good work. And Mariah at a 111.2, 26.2 items per minute.
And rounding out the top 25, we've got a bunch of the familiar faces back there. We've got, I see Brandon Graham at 585, still at number 2, then John at 585 as well. I see a couple of new names I don't recognize. I haven't seen Anna on there before. She appears to, judging by her items per customer, she appears to be an express cashier, so there is proof that you can have a high Elms score on Express, so way to go, Anna. And last but not least, there's Will and Tamdo again, the two fastest cashiers, both coming in at 39.2 items per minute for the week. If Will and Tamdo, if y'all are listening, which I doubt you are, I'm going to go ahead and call you out on this. I want to see if y'all can work on your Tinder time over the next past week, over this coming week. You've got the items per minute part down. If you can get that Tinder time down, I expect y'all to see y'all in the top five. So if you hear this, take action, sirs.
Good point. We've got our top stores from the division this past week were Store 583, Store 585. Coming in at number 5, actually, is Store 463. Now, 463 has been really consistent over the past few months, and they are actually the highest-ranked customer unload store in the entire Southwest division. If you'll notice, Store 463 also has 28 items per minute. I'd like to give a shout-out to the CSM at Store 463, Mandy Green. We're actually going to be interviewing Mandy next week on our show to see exactly how she does it, how her customer unload store could be in the top 5 stores in the entire division. Customer unload is a lot harder to actually maintain an efficient front end as opposed to cashier unload, where the cashier actually has complete control over the transaction. When you have a customer unload, there's so many other variables that you can throw in there that will affect your overall efficiency. All right, to conclude our discussion on our previous week's Elms results, we're actually going to be talking about our previous period Elms results. This period ended last week with week 52, and 583 completely dominated the top three cashiers. We had Duncan at a 157.6, Jessica at a 139.8, and Jeremy at a 137.6. All had over 30 items a minute. Rounding off Store 583's performance from period 13, we have Heather coming in at the 24th spot at 116.5, with 28.5 items per minute. Good job, Heather.
And then store 585, they totally dominated the top 25 overall. One store had 40% of the top 25 cashiers. They had 10 of them, so good job, 585, way to maintain that efficiency. And another notable cashier on this list is Colby at 463. As Tim discussed a few minutes earlier, 463 is indeed a customer unload store. But Colby here has been, with only 11.9 items per customer, has managed to get 37.8 items per minute for the period. That's really just unbelievable. That's incredible speed, but...
Wow, that's like three customers a minute almost. He's actually, I was talking with Mandy the other day, and he's actually been kind of challenging you. He consistently sees your name on these reports that we get from the top 25 cashiers, and he's actually convinced that he is actually faster than you at checking. So he kind of threw out a little challenge there the other day. What do you think about that?
Well, I'm gonna go ahead and make he very well may be faster than me, but I think I'm more efficient. That's really all I'm going to say about that. I know that I'm not the fastest, but it's all about the efficiency, so I will revel in that fact. But Colby, keep it up. Maybe I'll see you below my name someday. I don't know.
Oh, that was good. That was good. All right, for our next part of the show, we'll be introducing a new segment that we like to call Muzak Madness. Every week, Duncan and I will choose a song each to kind of break up the monotony of just hearing us talk for 35 minutes straight. These are songs that we're going to be choosing that we would like to hear over Kroger Radio at some point. So one of my favorite bands, the Pixies, actually has a song that would fit into this type of late 80s and early 90s genre. And it wouldn't actually sound too out of place from the typical music that we play on Muzak. My first selection this week is Here Comes Your Man by the Pixies.
I know the name.
of the week this week is professionalism. Professionalism is usually perceived as your outward appearance, but it's not necessarily limited to your appearance. There are other factors that determine your overall professional demeanor. We'll go ahead and talk about your appearance, which is the first thing that the customer sees. Your uniform, that's how customers identify that you work there. It's imperative that you have your shirt tucked in. I know I tell at least 4 or 5 different people every day to tuck their shirts in. It's really not that hard, and it makes a huge difference. In fact, today, Duncan had witnessed an incident in the parking lot. Do you want to go ahead and tell us about that, Duncan?
Yes. Today, I was coming into the store just to pick up a few documents, and I was walking in, and I couldn't help but notice one of our baggers was out there, and he was assisting a customer with her order, and his shirt was blowing around in the wind. It was a little bit large, the shirt was, not the order, and as Kroger shirts usually tend to be a little bit large, owing to their high polyester content, which results in little shrinkage when washed. It was blowing around, and it was just becoming increasingly mixed up with the bags and the woman's hands, who the lady was trying to help him help her. And I went over to tell, I don't generally work on Sundays, so I don't usually know some of the 15-year-olds that come in on exclusively Sundays. So I was going to go over and tell him to tuck his shirt in, just tell him to spruce up his appearance a little bit. And I didn't see his name tag, so I had no way of doing that, and it was a little disconcerting to me.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. Your name tag is also a very important part of your uniform. It's how the customer can relate to you on a personal level. Also, if you were to be the subject of a mystery shop, your name would not appear on there because the customer has, of course, no way of knowing who you are, and you wouldn't get credit for doing the good job that you do. You also wouldn't be able to receive any constructive feedback from a customer. All they have to go on is your description if you don't actually have your name badge on. So it's pretty easy. Just leave your name badge in your car. Leave it with your shirt. Just always remember your name badge.
Another aspect of professionalism is communication with other employees and customers. One inappropriate way to communicate is by shouting across the front end or any other area of the store, like down an aisle per se or across the parking lot. Yelling is just, frankly, it's obnoxious. Your voice changes when you do it. You just sound like a general moron. I know I'm making generalizations because I'm sure there's some of you out there with excellent yelling voices, no offense intended, but we have an intercom system for a reason, and it should be utilized effectively and appropriately. If you're trying to get another cashier's attention for a produce code or something, don't turn around and scream at them like, "What's the code for artichokes?" or whatever. Just pick up the phone and call them. That's what they're there for. And if you're trying to get a courtesy clerk over to your register, get on the intercom and just be like, "Courtesy clerk, register, whatever." People would much rather hear a clean, smooth speaking voice, much magnified, than a less magnified but strained, screechy, awful noise emanating from one's mouth. Okay.
Yeah, that's a good point, because one of my favorite phrases to use on the front end when a cashier yells at me from register 12 and I'm at the service center is, "This is not Sack and Save. We do not have the same business model as they do." It just
a little skybox.
Right, exactly. It just appears really unprofessional. So, like Duncan said, just be sure to use your intercom. They've made it really easy now. They have a little button that says page on it. You don't have to type in any sequence of numbers. You just hit the little page button and speak into the bottom half of the phone. That's all I ask.
Yeah, but one more thing. When you page, don't abuse that. I've made that mistake before. I've gotten written up a couple of times for inappropriate pager use. Back in the day when I was not so adamant about being professional, I was a relatively new hire there, and I was just getting used to it. I had never been on an intercom before, and I totally abused that. Don't make the same mistake, because that's even worse than yelling. You're at work. You can have fun when you're at work, but don't do it in a distracting manner.
Yeah, I remember one time, Duncan, there was a... You had sent a courtesy clerk to the back of the store for something, and you had paged something over the intercom. What, do you remember that day?
Yeah, I unfortunately do. I sent James Caldawi to the back to grab some frozen corn, and when the customer decided she didn't need it anymore, I gave in to temptation, and I got on the intercom and I said, "Captain Caldawi, abort mission. Return to ship immediately, please. Thank you." Or over. That's how I ended it. Over.
Over. Oh, man, yep. That's good. But very unprofessional, I would say. another point that you can make about your overall professional demeanor is just your general attitude and behavior towards the customer. As our paychecks say, a satisfied customer made this paycheck possible. The only reason that you are there is to serve that customer. That's what Kroger pays you for, and that's what Kroger expects of you to do while you're on the clock. Along the same lines as your overall general attitude and behavior towards the customers is actually demonstrating a sense of urgency. This isn't necessarily limited to trying to rush and get everything done for that customer, but you should have a sense of urgency. Duncan, how would you define sense of urgency on the front end?
Sense of urgency goes for every front end employee, not just cashiers, not just baggers, but everybody. Like, I know I have this problem because I know baggers hate bagging for me just because of my, because I'm generally
You're a little intimidating. I'd say you're a little intimidating.
Yeah, I have that sense of urgency with a customer. They're not there to stand in line. I read somewhere on the internet when I was doing, like, my nerdy Kroger research that the average grocery store customer waits in line for 8 minutes, and... Mm. Obviously not in our area, but I guess for like the terrible grocery stores in other areas of the country, i.e. Tom Thumb, that we, 8 minutes is not acceptable. People are not there to wait in line. People are there to get in and get out. When I'm checking, I'm making sure I have that sense of urgency, as do most of the other cashiers. In fact, all of them do, at least at our store. Then baggers, I know if a cashier is going too fast, it's not always about being comfortable with what you're doing. You're there to serve. You're not there to float your way through it, I guess. It's okay right. If you need to call for help or anything, and even just tell the cashier to slow down if it's just getting ridiculous to the point of where items are getting damaged or whatnot. But too many times I've like turned down, seen a huge pile. And it would be totally okay if there was a pile and the bagger was there, like, doing their best, striving for five, putting items in appropriate bags. But too many times I've looked down there, there's a big pile, the bagger's just holding something, and they're, like, talking to a friend or whatever. Got to keep that urgency. You're a team with your cashier. Just a reminder out there. Y'all are not... It's not cashier versus bagger. It's... cashier and bagger versus the clock.
Very good point. What I've always heard is when trying to maintain an efficient checkout lane, it's important to work with your bagger and not against your bagger. I know that when I'm checking, I try to do my best to kind of group the items together. If I have some produce, I'm going to send that down so they can put it at the top of the cart. I'm going to group all the frozen stuff together. Of course, there are some items that just randomly fall down, and you can't really control that. But what you want to, on the cashier side of it, is try to maintain that grouping to the best of your ability. It will help your courtesy clerk out a lot, and your line will actually be more efficient if you just take that extra little time to process what's actually in the cart.
All right, it's time for round two of Muzak Madness, and one of the primary genres, I guess if you can call it a genre, I think Tim mentioned this earlier, it's all 80s music, basically, which all pretty much sounds identical. When I was younger, I honestly thought that every song recorded between 1985 and 1991 was by the same artist, because it all sounds identical. I thought there was one 80s male artist and one 80s female artist. That is not the case. I'm not saying that there's not decent 80s music, 80s songs out there, because I've heard them. We play a couple of them at our store, although not many. After hearing that, you may think that I absolutely despise 80s music. That is not the case. But I would very much like to hear this song one time, and one more time during the day, and hear It's a Sin one less time during the day. I swear I hear it four times every time I work. And that song is Take Me Home Tonight by Eddie Money off the album Just Got Back. I'm
That was Duncan's choice for Music Madness this week. Eddie Money's Take Me Home Tonight. This week we're going to be introducing a new segment that we like to call Kroger Trivia. Each week I'll pose a trivia question to everyone at Kroger 583, and whoever can email the correct answer first to Kroger583podcast@gmail.com will get a shout out on the next show. Our Kroger trivia question this week is, which Kroger executive was actually an Eagle Scout? Once again, if you know the answer to this, email us at Kroger583podcast@gmail.com and you will receive a shout-out on next week's podcast.
And perhaps a hug from me, if you can find me quick enough.
That might be even a better prize. You may just have to go to the hugs. All right, so that brings us to our last segment of Odd Customers and Strange Happenings at Kroger 583. I have one story I'd like to share. It's actually a pretty serious story, and there's some lessons to be learned from it. So 2 days ago, I'd actually sent a bagger out to get cards. So I started bagging for Leah over on Register 10. And a pretty normal-looking guy actually came through her line. And so I started bagging. He seemed relatively quiet, not very sociable. He paid with debit, which is really odd for what transpired next, but he typed in he wanted $40 cash back. So Leo went through the motions, and the customer started talking, which he hadn't done previously in the transaction. He wanted a specific kind of change. A $20 bill, two fives, and 10 ones. So that kind of threw up a kind of red flag for me right then and there. So I started focusing all my attention on this guy and what he was saying and what Leo was doing with the actual cash. So he requested the $20 bill, the two fives, and the 10 ones. Leo starts counting out the ones initially and has them down on the counter. She brings out the two fives and the 20. At that point, the customer then requested that she cancel out the ones. He didn't need the ones anymore. So she started putting the ones back in her drawer. At the same time, he was already pulling out two $1 bills from his wallet. He then requested $20 in ones as opposed to the 10 that he requested earlier. At this point, Leah was getting kind of jumbled up, which is completely natural to be in that kind of situation and to kind of get mixed up a little bit. But the customer started handing her the two ones, and then I kind of stepped in, came around the counter, and stood next to her and started looking at all the money. He then said, "Oh, I actually don't need the ones." Put the two ones back in his wallet. And I was like, okay. At that point, I had seen enough and was just like, okay, stop right here. So I took out two 20s from her till and told the guy to follow me up to the service center if he needed change. At that point, he kind of hesitated when I offered to take him up to the service center, and he followed me up there. And so I went behind the counter and asked him what exactly kind of change he needed. He seemed to be kind of unsincerely apologetic. You could kind of tell that he was up to something and he had been caught. So he said he needed 10 ones, two fives, and a $20 bill, which was the original amount of change that he had asked for. At that point, I kind of just looked up at him and asked, "I thought you didn't need the ones anymore." And he was like, "Oh, yeah, that's right, I guess." So then I kind of turned to the camera, and he kind of looked up at it, too, and I kind of mumbled under my breath, "Let's hope those cameras are working." So the guy kind of walked off, and I made sure to go over with every cashier the proper procedure for giving change. What I'd like to see in the future is if anyone asks for anything smaller than a $10 bill as their change, or if they pay with cash and ask for ones back, go ahead and just close your drawer, call a supervisor over the intercom, as we had previously discussed, and we'll audit your till and get the customer the correct amount of change if there's any confusion at all. So, Duncan, did you have any stories to share?
Yeah, I had one. There's this guy that comes in. I've seen him before. He's just like real scatterbrained, goofy guy. He seems like he's pretty high most of the time. But he came in buying a bag of, he bought a bag of ice on Tuesday night. And he came in with a lit cigarette behind his ear. I don't know what his deal was, but he came in, he's wearing a hat, and he had the cigarette behind his ear. And I could smell him coming, because you don't really, burning cigarettes are not something you smell indoors every day, at least not at Kroger. And so I saw him, and I was just staring at it, and he caught his hair on fire a little bit, and it was just like smoldering, and I didn't say anything, because if you're stupid enough to have a lit cigarette behind your ear, I feel no sympathy. Well, I guess I did, but I thought it was entertaining. And he noticed, like, after I was, like, staring up at his ear a little bit, you could smell the burning hair, and to put it out, he slapped himself in the side of the face a couple of times, then, like, grabbed the ice and put it on his face and just ran out of the stores. He was so embarrassed. I haven't seen him back since, but...
Yeah, I know I wouldn't return if I had done anything like that. He probably walked into the store thinking he was such a cool guy, cigarette behind the ear. Did he, in fact, have a pack of cigarettes rolled up in his shirt sleeve and a leather jacket or anything like that?
Oh, he had it in the breast pocket of his V-neck. Ooh. No, he didn't. But I didn't notice anything. He probably had it under his hat. He had, like, a stovepipe hat thing going on.
All right, so that about wraps it up for another Kroger 583 podcast. I'm your host, Tim Robinette.
And I'm Duncan Fettner. Thank you for Kroger. I'm all tuned in. I see all the programs. I save coupons for packets of tea. I've got my giant hit discotheque album. I empty a bottle. I feel a bit free. Kids in the halls and the pipes in the walls. Long distance calls in the silence makes me lonely. I'm lost in the supermarket. I can no longer shop happily. I came in here for the special offer, a guaranteed personality. It's not here. I
usually have to tell at least four or five different people every day to go ahead and tuck that in. You may want to invest in a belt as well. That could definitely help some people.
But wait, Tim, I was told when I was hired that belts can be used as weapons and that we should not wear them. Is that true?
That's actually untrue. According to the recent 9/11 findings from the federal government, none of the terrorists actually used their belts. They actually used another utensil of a grocery store called a box cutter. Now box cutters are another story, but at least tuck in your shirt.